Dry with some late sunshine, low cloud and hill fog later with lows of 6. That's the latest. I'm Vicky Murray.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Premiership enters the home straight as we kick off the post-split fixtures this weekend. David Bates opens up about leaving Rangers, insisting he has no regrets. And tomorrow looks set to be the day we find out if Alex McLeish continues as the Scotland manager. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, you're right, Gordon. It's a hot topic tomorrow. It's going to dominate the headlines one way or another. What's going to happen to Alex McLeish in the national team hot seat? And we're back on league duty this weekend. The split happens and the Old Firm are away in Edinburgh. Rangers at Hearts and Celtic at Hibs. And supporters out there, what do you make of the decision by Kilmarnock to slash the Old Firm's allocation of tickets for future games at Rugby Park? Plenty to talk about tonight, Gordon.
Yes, Jim Duffy, it's all happening Wednesday of the week that we welcome back the Premiership. So I think we start to look forward to the portion of the season that matters. Well, it all matters, but you know what I mean. We're going to find out who's winning, who's losing, and who's in between.
Yeah, but there's still an awful lot to play for, Gordon. You know, the top of the league obviously is all just about wrapped up for Celtic. Can do it at the weekend, but I think the other positions, you know, whether it's European places or whether it's that huge relegation battle at the bottom, there's still an awful lot of interest there, and as I said, a lot of nervous supporters around the country hoping that their team can find form at the right time.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. In the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to be joined in the studio by one of the great characters of Scottish football, a man Jim Duffy knows very well. That's Chick Charnley. Chick's going to come in and join us between 7 and 8. So if you've got any questions or points, feel free to get them in. And here's a wee theme for us, a wee subplot to keep us ticking along nicely. With Billy McNeil being given the One Club Man Award by Athletic Bilbao, we are looking for your team's greatest servants. So it might be a one club man, or it might just be a great servant. You tell us. We've been inspired by this One Club Man Award given to Billy McNeil, but we're looking for the greatest servant for your team. So as always, let's hear the examples that we might not have thought of. Give us the detail. 0141 951 1025, and we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's kick off with a phone call though. Let's go straight to Marco, who's in Wrexham, I believe. Hi Marco.
Hi there, hi guys. Just a couple of points, if I could. Last night, I was listening to a Rangers fan saying that, talking about the gap being closed purely because Neil Lennon is now in charge of Celtic rather than Brendan Rodgers. I just wonder the sort of thinking behind that, because for me, okay, arguably he's not got the same calibre, as a CV as compared to Brendan Rodgers, but for me, he's the perfect man to get us towards 9 and 10 in a row. And I think he'll do that, because he's I can't think of anybody else better equipped, actually, that's Celtic minded, and you know, would really be really, really focused on that. Got a great record in the transfer market for buying in summer signings. And in terms of the gap as well, there was talk about, like, it's 11 points just now and the gap's been closed and things like that. Now, we don't know what the gap's going to be in terms of points until the final league game. It could well be a lot more than that. It could be less, of course, but it could be a lot more. And if it finishes up more than 12 than it was last season, then that's, the gap's not closed. The only area I would say where Rangers have actually successfully closed the gap is head-to-head clashes this season with the two teams. And undoubtedly, Gerrard's improved that. But if you look at the quality of the squad that Celtic have got, the potential for finishing this season in a bigger points gap than it was last season, I don't see how this gap is actually closed very much at all. Yeah?
Well, I think the gap's irrelevant come the summer, because there's going to be changes at both clubs, and you know, arguably you can talk about who the next Celtic manager is going to be, whether it's Neil Lennon or whatever, what's going to happen with Steven Gerrard. You know, the two most important people, two most important departments are going to be the recruitment departments at both clubs. Mark Allen at Rangers, Lee Congerton at Celtic, although I suspect Lee Congerton won't be there, there might be somebody new in the job. So there's big changes to be made at both clubs, and then you see what happens. But from a standing viewpoint just now, if Rangers supporters are coming on and saying, oh, the gap's closed, if you listen to managers that know the drill, and Jim will know, there's no point in looking across the city. It's what you do at your own club, and Rangers know what they need to do. They need to get better players in. They need more money, and they need better players, because the players that they've got now are not good enough to win the title. The proof is there. They're 11 points behind with 5 games to go. So they need to find championship winning players that will get you over the line, that have got the mentality as well as the ability to win week after week, as Celtic have managed to do over the past number of years. Beyond that, I think that Steven Gerrard has improved Rangers. I do take the Old Firm games as a marker. I think Rangers can get to Celtic, but if Celtic really want to push on, then they have the financial muscle to go and get a better quality of player in than what Rangers
can do. I remember the call Marco's referring to. A Rangers fan phoned up basically hoping that Neil Lennon lands the Celtic job. Yeah, he thinks that gives them a greater chance. I know that sounds really harsh, but essentially it's just grounded in the belief, which is fine, that Brendan Rodgers is a better manager than Neil Lennon. That's where these guys are coming from.
Yeah, I mean, well, Brendan Rodgers has had a flawless record at Celtic in domestic competition, so therefore you can't argue about that. But, you know, it's really, I mean, this season's done and dusted, so Rangers aren't going to win any silverware. They're going to finish second in the league. So Celtic, at the very worst, have got the double and every chance now of getting the treble, because they're in the cup final. So I don't really see how the gap has narrowed that much, if any. And if it is, then it'll be minimal. And as Marco and Mark had said, maybe in the Old Firm head-to-head matches, but over the piece, you've got to do it over a whole season. You've got to be more consistent over a whole season, and Rangers have still got a bit to find in that. But as I said, this season's more or less done and dusted as far as exit. It's about, you know, next season. And next season, both teams will start, whether it's Neil Lennon's in charge or whoever. It's like a clean slate, and it's about, you know, how, you know, much investment Rangers throw at it. You know, Dave King's come out with a very bold statement, you know, the Rangers fans will look for him to back that statement up with hard cash and say, right, okay, how are you going to back your manager? And, you know, and to try and make sure they make next season a much more competitive season, because ultimately it's petered out, and it's petered out too early, I think, as far as, and people can look at the European aspect early on in the season, all these kind of things, but as a top club, you have to make sure you've got the quality of players that whenever the season starts, if it starts early July, it starts early July, and to see you right through that campaign in all competitions, because the Rangers fans expect Rangers to be challenging in all competitions.
Marco.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jim Toth. I think he talks a lot of sense. I always enjoy listening to him when he's on the show. It's just the evidence of where the gap's been closed. I mean, it was when Rangers beat Celtic at Ibrox just at Christmas there, and that was level at the top. It was all talk about how Rangers could go and maybe win the title. Well, what happened? What happened now then? You know, what happened since then? Well, what's happened since then is an 11-point gap now, and possibly a bigger one. So that doesn't show any evidence of closing the gap. In terms of the managers, like Brendan Rodgers versus Lennon, now my view would be, and again, Hugh Keevans hits it on the nail, 95% or whatever of the Celtic supporters, the most important thing to us is getting 10 in a row, right? So the next 2 years, my view would be go for Neil Lennon, because he's best equipped to try and get that and save some money that perhaps in managerial wages during that period, and obviously use Champions League money as well to get that period over and done with, and hopefully let's secure 10 in a row. Then after that, go for a marquee manager again of a Brendan Rodgers caliber to make a tilt at Europe. But for me, the most important thing at the moment is a 10 in a row thing, and I don't see at all how the gap is narrowed just because Lennon's in charge at the moment. I think you'll find next season Gerrard will definitely make Rangers stronger, and I expect a big challenge from them, but I think he's more than equipped when you consider as well he's had a better record in Europe than probably Rodgers did overall, and got some really good wins during that period. I don't see Lennon as a downgrade at all for the particular job in hand just now, you know.
Thank you very much, Marco and Wrexham. 0141 951 1025. Come on, fans of all clubs, you've got the post-split fixtures to go, 5 games to go. What are your aims? What are your hopes, expectations? Is it about bettering last season's points tally? Is it about catching the team above you? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. On the subject of recruitment, the newspaper stories starting to circulate, Mark Guiri, with regard Rangers summer recruitment. The Jake Hasty deal looked on, then it looked off. Now suggestions that maybe it could be resurrected. Yeah. You've got names like Greg Stewart floating about, perhaps an interest in John Souter. Any of these names good ideas as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I like Greg Stewart. I like John Souter, I have to be honest, I've not seen enough of Jake Hasty to say is he Rangers material, but going by the reports of everybody that covers it and manages players, I'm saying, you know, it would sound like a no brainer if you can get Jake Hasty. Now, whether the boy would want to go in terms of would he be guaranteed first team football or whatever, that might come into Rangers, take him and then loan him out, I don't know. But certainly Greg Stewart, I think that's a deal that Rangers are pursuing, and I would expect that one to get over the line. John Souter, if Rangers can afford them, depending on the fee that Hearts are looking for. I'm not sure of his contractual situation. He's maybe got a year to go after this, a year or two. Does John Souter want to stay in Scotland, or does he want to go down the road? Does he want to stay at Hearts? But I think that's one that Rangers will pursue and try and get over the line. But that would take, I would imagine, you'd be looking in the region of £2.5 to £3 million. I don't think Hearts will let him go for any cheaper than that, and rightly so. But we'll see what happens. But I like those kind of players. I think they're the kind of players that can come in and help Rangers and improve them.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm not entirely in agreement with Mark there. I think the Rangers have to look beyond. I think when they've taken some players in the past from Scottish football, but it's not always, as I said before, the talent. Greg Stewart, for instance, who at Kilmarnock was absolutely outstanding. He just looks like a totally different player up at Aberdeen. I've seen Aberdeen maybe 3 or 4 times now live with Greg Stewart playing, and he's a shadow of the player he was at Kilmarnock. So I'm just wondering, you know, does the expectation level of going to a club like Aberdeen, you know, weigh on his shoulders? I don't know the boy. Maybe he's not fitting into the system or whatever. But when he goes to the Rangers, or if he goes to the Rangers, he's going to have to multiply that tenfold. You know, that expectation of going and performing at a high level week in, week out, and that demands. I think Rangers do need a similar type of player, creative player playing off the front or in that little pocket to try and, you know, create opportunities. But I'm not sure if Greg Stewart's the right person. He went down to Birmingham, didn't quite work out. He went to Aberdeen twice, not quite worked out. Jake Casey's another one for potential for me. I think he's further down the line, but you know, we're signing Jordan Jones already. They've obviously young Glenn Middleton, who started the season well. They've got Gresda. You know, who hasn't really settled in. There's still a lot of questions to be asked about him. And John Souter, as I said again, looks as if he can handle it. I have to be honest, he does look that. He gives that air of authority. But again, I think Rangers have got to look beyond that. To me,
I think certainly better than what they've got, Jim.
I think you're right. I do like
Goldson, to be honest, but as for the rest of them, I don't think Rangers would lose any sleep. Katic, Worrell, all those kind of guys. They're no title winning defenders. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Now remember, I'm also asking for your team's greatest ever servants. This is because Billy McNeil's been given the One Club Man Award by Athletic Bilbao. We're looking for your team's greatest servants. Falkirk Fan Zone is on. I did say I wanted to hear from all teams. Mm-hmm. Greatest servant, Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
He says.
Yeah. Kevin was there, I think, 4 times in a row, something like that, you know. A terrific player. Absolutely outstanding player.
Good shout. So many different suggestions coming in. Derek says, a loyal servant, it has to be John Walk. Unbelievable to Ipswich. Apart from his stint at Liverpool where he outscored Rushy that season, I don't think his loyalty to Ipswich, but I genuinely think he was one of the most underrated players of his generation. What else have we got here? Keep them coming at Clyde SSB. Who would be the other notable servants in Scottish football or One Club men? There must be loads.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to St Mirren and when I was a young chick coming in. So I thought a brilliant man, he was a great player, Jim, because your position as well. Norrie McWhirter was a great One Club man, and with a great suspect to St Mirren, Norrie was good enough to go and follow in the path almost to the point like his great pal Paul Lambert. You know, Norrie had that ability, but it was injuries really really scuppered Norrie. But Norrie was a great servant to St Mirren.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the eras you're at, Gordon. I mean, we're lucky in this programme where, you know, we've got every era covered really from generations. I remember going back to when I was up in Dundee, and Bobby Cox, you know, was a player you probably not know, you're too young, but Bobby was a player who, you know, one of these guys that you're a fantastic footballer, but
get the stand there, haven't they, Bobby Cox?
Yeah, the Bobby Cox stand. But in an era of Scottish football when you had so many greats and fullbacks like Tommy Gamble and all these kind of guys, and John Gregg played fullback at Tenerife, and it was hard for him to get into that next level of but in Dundee, he's revered, absolutely revered in Dundee, and you'll get the likes of David Neary, who I know he's not one company, he went to Raith Rovers later on, his game won the League Cup, you know, and Paul Hegarty and Sturrock and these kind of guys.
Great servants will do, doesn't need to be one club.
Well, you've got Willie Miller as well. Willie Miller, Aberdeen, these kind of guys there. And that, and again, Paul McStay is another one at Celtic who is absolutely outstanding. So yeah, there's a lot of guys that, you know, spent, I mean, even the likes of, you know, guys who, you know, don't always get recognition, but, you know, were real good team players and, you know, were there. You know, there's a number of guys, I'm sure the fans...
Ian Durant at Rangers. Yeah. Ian Durant, you know. he went through and, went to Kilmarnock the last couple of years of his career, but Ian Durant was just a brilliant person, a brilliant ambassador for Rangers, but a top footballer again, his career, didn't he? Hit the heights that it should have because of injury.
01419511025 in the phones. Andy's in Clydebank. Hi, Andy.
How you doing, boys? All right?
Yeah, good, Andy. What's on your mind?
I just came in and I just heard the wee thing. You're looking for long time legends.
Yes.
Myself, being a Clydebank lad, I know we've still got a junior team at the moment, but when the Bankies used to be in existence as a professional team, Jim Gallagher, the goalkeeper, he was a top lad. That was what I would like to mention for the legends, you know.
Yeah, Jim was a terrific goalkeeper, and again, you know, just one of these guys that you know, in a different time, you know, could have certainly had the ability to play. I'm not sure, but he wanted to play with the Bankies, and as Andy's saying there, you know, again, just absolutely the fans loved him, and there was again a number of players that started their careers, obviously, you know, famous David Cooper and guys like that. But you know, the again, somebody like Jim who decided to stay there and play his career there. You know, again, he certainly had the ability to go and play, and you know, and you know, there was a number. I think it was Mark Clocker. There was another one. I think he played a good number of years there. A really good reader of the game, good defender. As I said, so many players, you said, and Ken Eady, great goal scorer. Ken, I know Ken eventually went, but he wanted to stay part time because he had his business. So, listen, as I said before, I can probably come up with a few, Andy, but I'll let the fans let us know.
Good shout, Andy. I like that. Andy in Clydebank, a Clydebank fan. 0141 951 1025. You can keep your calls coming in on that. That's just something to tick along in the background. But anything else as far as today's news goes, get the calls in. And we've got an exclusive interview with former Rangers and Scotland defender David Bates. That's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guiri and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, waiting on your calls and your tweets at Clyde SSB. Remember, we're asking for your greatest servants for your teams, any one club men out there. Just that along in the background of today's news. We have been looking at the post-split fixtures, what lies in store. We're going to take a look at Alex McLeish's future a bit later on as well. Let's go straight back to the phones though and speak to Ian in Greenock. Hi, Ian.
I'm not in Greenock, Gordon. I'm in North West London.
I'm away
watching at the moment. No problem. I said to Andy, hi to yourself, Mark and Jim.
Hello.
And I'd like to give a wee shout out to my pal who's just went home. He works beside me. He's away back in Belfast, to David, my mate. Hope he's listening. Anyway, guys.
Anyway, on with the football.
On with the football. My servant, there's two I've got. It's got to be John Clark at Celtic. The years he's gave to Celtic, it's got to be best part of 40 odd year, 50 year, maybe 55 year, because I'm nearly 52, so and the late David Cooper, I used to polish his boots at Ibrox when I was there many years ago. He died too young.
Two good shouts, that, absolutely. And John Clark, not only as a player as well, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, the player and obviously his connection with Celtic as an assistant manager to Billy McNeil, and then you know, working in the background and you know, with the kit and all the other stuff, and further down the line. But his association with the club, as Ian has said, has been immense, and you know, his contribution has been immense. So you know, both on and off the pitch. And as I said, you know, obviously with Coops of different clubs, obviously we mentioned Clydebank, Rangers, Motherwell. Obviously, if it's, you know, one club guys are, you know, they're less, and it just shows you even these greats, you know, at times, you know, there was a time when for one reason or another they moved on, you know, and you know, there's that's the thing.
Right, Ian, as a Celtic fan, it's quite a clear set of objectives between now and the end of the season. But what specifically are you hoping for?
I don't want to talk about football. It's involving football. I want to talk about security. I've been trying to go on for and with this pyrotechnic things and all that. I'm in the security sector, and I've done high profile stuff at Wembley Stadium, which I'm not far from, and I've worked at the Joshua fight. Now, Mark and Jim, you were talking about it last week. Now, Hearts is closing a bit of their grounding. It's not just going to happen to Hearts. It's going to happen to the Old Firm as well, Celtic and Rangers. I'm going to tell you what it boils down to. It's the clubs who are employing these cowboy companies. And take
just
it
be
from
careful,
me,
Ian. Be careful, please, right, okay, if you can.
I'll take that back. Right, right. But they're not doing what they should be doing, Jim. Gordon and Mark.
What should they be doing?
Wembley.
What should they be doing then that they're not doing?
They should be getting, everybody should be getting search, Mark. And it can be done. Because
Ian, is there not a slight problem there? Because you do get searched going to a football game up here. The problem is, without giving people too many ideas, if you want to get a smoke bomb or a flare into a game, you'll do it.
But listen, the security's got to get stepped up, Gordon. Yeah. Now, over 90,000 guys went into the Anthony Joshua and Klitschko fight. And I work in corporate side of it, in the middle section at Wembley. We've got 30,000 people coming through our area, and everyone gets searched, wanted the lot. Now, I've been to loads of games at Parkhead, I've been to concerts at Hampden, and never been searched once.
Ian, I mentioned something, and it was Gordon on the Saturday programme 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I thought, you know, when the coins are going on, I thought, it might get to the stage, if we are serious about trying to stop this, that we introduce airport style scanners, searches. I've been to World Cups, European Championships, Champions League finals, and that's what they do. Even the media get searched and your bags go through scanners. And Gordon, you say, well, that's not feasible because you can't stop coins. But Gordon, as a nation, as football, the authorities, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, why they want to stop it, or we try and find excuses not to stop it. And if fans continue to misbehave the way they're doing, then we have to step it up. And Ian's right, because otherwise, every week we're seeing in the bulletins on Clyde or on the telly, oh, we condemn this behaviour and we've launched a thorough investigation. Nonsense. No substance to it. You never ever hear anything more about it. So it's got to the serious point. And as I've said before, there's madness in the horizon. And if we don't do something about it now and put things in place, and that's why I absolutely commend Anne Budge for the way she's acted, and Hibernian. I think Edinburgh has led the way, and it's that's what's happened in the past week or so.
At the same time, Jim, I don't want to get into this all night because we've done it a few times, but we were talking to Fraser Wishart about it last week. Mm-hmm. It's also surely important to find a solution that's not over the top, that doesn't then make all the innocent fans feel like criminals. Surely that's as much of a priority as anything.
I think Ian has got some valid points here in terms of, you know, getting people who are in that field. You know, more of those people. So if you're going to shut a section of your stadium, that's going to cost you a lot of money. So if you invest some of that money, which you might then, in these professional people who are used to doing it at major events, as I said, that, you know, concerts, boxing matches, football matches, whatever happens to be at major events, then that's got to be cost effective. That's got to be a bit, and as you say, then you're not punishing other people. You know, that it just becomes the norm, you know, once you start doing it.
All right, thank you to Ian in Greenock or North West London, whatever it was. Thank you, Ian.
Wembley, near Wembley.
01419511025 in the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's speak to Alec in Motherwell. Hi, Alec.
Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Hey, I'm just going to give you a shout out for the players that served the club. I think you might be a wee bit young, Gordon, so might Mark. No, I don't mean you're the pensioners, Jim, but...
No, you're right, that's remember, okay, I know.
the fullback that played with Motherwell. Joe Watt.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever capped, but for Scotland, wasn't he, Jim?
No, I don't think so. I guess I'm saying, you know, in a certain era when Scotland had, you know, a lot of good players. I mean, I think Joe played in the team with Danny McGrain and that played, and Sandy Jardine and guys like that, you know, that ilk, and so therefore it was very difficult. I suppose it's like a young left back now, it might come up and find Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney in front of him, he might miss the boat. So, you know, you've got players. But again, Joe, yeah, a terrific servant to Motherwell, absolutely. And again, in a an era of Scottish players where I think, as I said, we were a wee bit a wee bit richer than we currently are with talent.
Yeah, think about.
Can I just pick up on something that Mark just said there 2 minutes ago? We were talking about the incidents at the football grounds and that. I think Motherwell dealt with the thing that happened at Fir Park there with the pie getting thrown and the lighter getting thrown. Mm-hmm. Within 48 hours, Motherwell had identified that guy, contacted him, sent him a letter saying he was banned, and tell him he was getting his details were getting passed to the police.
Yeah, I forgot about Motherwell. Good shout. I forgot about that. It was very swift. Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah, you're right about Motherwell too.
All right, thanks to Alec and Motherwell. Joe Wark's a good shout. I think 500 and odd appearances for one club. Just don't see that too much anymore. I must say, lots coming in on Twitter on that front. Jim McLaughlin says, big Ruffy, over 400 games for the Jags. Some people are thinking outside the box. Kay says, not in Scotland, but Francesco Totti. That's a great example as well. Right, we've even had one, Gregor Faulkner for Elgin, says Ian. I'm telling you, I wanted them to be outside the box. We're certainly getting them. Danny McGrain, Paul McStay. Kyle says, John Gregg, of course, voted the greatest ever Ranger. Right, let's hear a bit from David Bates, shall we? We've been catching up with him because it's a year on since he signed his pre-contract with Hamburg, and he says he would encourage more Scottish youngsters to make a move abroad. He believes playing in Germany's helped him become a better player and also played a big part in gaining international recognition.
I think I've settled in quite well now and completely different pre-season to usual back in Scotland. A lot more ball work and tactical side of the game. But we play a lot of football over here and the ball's on the deck a lot. So you're learning different side of the game. A bit different to Scotland. There's not as much, I'd say, long balls or fights in the air. No, it's a completely different game, and that's why I came out here, to learn my trade better and learn more about myself and bring myself on as a player. I was always open to it, and it teaches you a few things and you learn a bit about yourself when you move out, you're away from your family. I'm here obviously with my girlfriend, so it's a bit easier. It's made it a bit easier for me. But you see it with obviously Liam Henderson's in Italy as well, and he's doing very well for himself. And so in the second lead also. So you can see that I've improved as a player, and it's all because I've came over here and focused on my game and learnt off the coaches here and the managers. So yeah, 100%. If anyone asked me, I would tell them to take the chance, and you know it can really work out for them.
Do you think that move over there has helped your Scotland career? Because obviously you're now a full international, got a couple of caps under your belt. Do you feel that the development that you've had over there has really helped your sort of international recognition?
I think so. Obviously, we're quite high up in the league and we're second and first throughout the season. So we're playing at a top level and with top players. And I think that maybe it did help me a bit with the Scotland national team. And at the end of the day, you need to keep playing and performing well. And hopefully get that recognition, which I did. So, obviously, I think the move did help that, yeah.
So no regrets then for Bates about leaving Rangers. He believes Bundesliga 2 is a higher standard than our Premiership, but he thinks it's good players aren't scrutinised in Germany as much as they are in Glasgow.
No, I never look at it like that, really. If I signed with Hamburg to go and improve my game, and Rangers are always going to get a top manager, and it was like a club Rangers are, they attract big names, and they obviously got Steven Gerrard as manager. So that's one of the things that in football, you go to different clubs, you learn off different managers. So no, I live with no regrets now.
In terms of the sort of standard of the league you're playing in at the moment, where would you say it sort of compares to the Scottish Premiership?
I would say this, playing in this league is the best league I've played in. The standard's very good, and every team have good players and good the way they play. Some teams will play different, some teams will play up to the back constantly, even with pressure, and the standard's very good over here, and I think that the second league's the highest level I've played at, definitely. I would say that it's not as intense as an outside the football in Glasgow. It's all about Rangers and Celtic, so, which is good. Obviously, living in Scotland, getting brought up in Scotland, and that's what you know. It's all about Rangers and Celtic, so over here it's obviously a bit different, but Hamburg was a big club, and there's still that a little bit of scrutiny, and which is expected if you don't play at a big club, and there won't be it. So if you play at a big club, there is. And at the end of the day, you want to play at the top of the game, top clubs, and that's what comes with it. It's part and parcel, isn't it? It's the game. So in a way, there's still scrutiny, but I wouldn't say as much outside football.
David Bates, we've had Liam Henderson, Ryan Gold, a couple have tried it recently. I think we'd all love to see. I mean, we want to see as many good players here. Yeah. But there's just something nice about seeing young guys going abroad and trying something different.
Yeah, we mentioned him earlier on the show, you know, Paul Lambert over to Germany and never looked back. You know, you remember like Rab McKinnon going over McLeod to Holland, Murdo McLeod, Scott Booth going to Germany.
Like Alan McInally.
Alan McInally. So there's been a few. I think you like Alan Johnston, Derek McInnes went to France for
Mo Johnson.
So listen, it's good. And the one thing again, Gordon, and you know that I really like hearing, and you will too, is just how well mannered and a nice guy David Bates is. You know, first of all, he's good enough to do an interview, take time out, and then he gives you a good insight. It's not just cliches. He's actually giving you an insight about him and his life, his development as a person, development as a footballer, the lifestyle, how, you know, the different scrutiny in Hamburg compared to Glasgow, which I'm glad to hear as well. So I really enjoy those kind of interviews, and you can clearly tell that David Bates is a person and a footballer is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I must admit, he's went way beyond what I thought he could achieve. I mean, I seen David Bates playing with the Raith Rovers, and then I saw him playing with Rangers reserves, as they want to call it that, the 20s at the time. And I'm thinking he's all right, he's a big lad, he's relatively athletic. And then we get into the Rangers first team, I thought, you know, I'm not too sure, you know, I mean, it's one of those ones, you get pitched in and Graham Murty and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, but he done all right in a couple of games, don't get me wrong, but then I just didn't see him becoming an international player within that period of time and having, you know, the capability to go and play in Germany. Obviously, I didn't know the boy as a person, so I don't know his character, but as he comes across, like Matt says, really well, articulate, you know, and I think he's obviously thought long and hard about it, going, taking it. So he will come, whatever he goes after that, he will be a better person and a better player. But fair play to him. He certainly, as far as I'm concerned, exceeded my expectations of where he could go to, and as I said, in a relatively short period of time, and the position he plays in. You know, he's got maybe 10, 15 years ahead of him, you know, playing at a really good level. So, yeah, no, he deserves all the credit for taking that opportunity and taking that risk to go there, because we mentioned a few guys, but in the big picture, Gordon, that's a minuscule amount of Scottish players really that have taken the opportunity to play abroad.
Yeah, we always like to keep an eye on the Scots abroad. So that was an exclusive interview with David Bates. You can hear more of that on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard website. On Twitter, we're still getting your greatest servants, your One Club men coming in. Joe says, talk about ambassadors for a club, Alan McGraw, Morton legend as both player and manager.
I think Davy Hayes was another one there. Davy played with myself, I think he was there for about 14 years, Hannibal. So I think that he's another one of these unsung heroes at the time.
His nickname, sorry.
Yeah, and it was long before Sounds of the Lambs. But Hannibal
Good.
Hayes.
I'm relieved at that. I thought I had a legal case on our hand.
He made Hannibal Hayes look like Mary Poppins.
John is a Rangers fan. He wants to talk about the ticket allocation at Kilmarnock, and that's coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We just had an interview with David Bates talking about Scots playing abroad. We've been looking at the post-split fixtures. We're also asking you for your One Club men or your team's greatest servants. This is on the back of that award given to Billy McNeil, and I must say thank you very much for the response, because there have been so many from all across the eras, all across the clubs. Neil Hood is on, Alan Archibald for Partick Thistle, he says. Fitzy's on with Andy Ritchie. The names coming in, great memories. Let's speak to John in Paisley. Hi, John.
Good evening, gentlemen. Tony Fitzpatrick for St Mirren.
Good shout. Yeah. Mark Guidi, I'm surprised you missed that one out.
He told me Tony signed me for St Mirren.
That's why you're not happy with him.
No, I'm glad. David Hay released me, but it was Tony signed me.
John, what's your thoughts on the ticket allocation for Rugby Park?
Right. First of all, do you anybody know what the price of a season ticket for Kilmarnock is?
Off the top of my head, I must admit, no.
Good question, no.
It is no £27.
I would agree, yes, it won't be £27.
Right. First of all, where is he going to get another 4,000 supporters for? Because he can't fill his two stones that he's got, the two songs either side. So where's he going to get another 4,000 supporters for to fill the Muffet stand? I think the Muffet stand will be full of flags. No, I mean, to cover it up. This is just an embarrassment to Scottish football once again, that Rangers and Celtic, they could both get punished because of what? Tell me why at the end of the season we can't have it, the two stands again. His comment that it's a family club, it's for 150. Does he think he's going to get another 4,000 fans and he can't even fill can he get, he's lucky if he's 4,000 a game.
Just let me recap the story, John, for anyone who missed it. So usually Rangers and Celtic, like you say, get both stands behind the goals. That's 8,000 tickets roughly. For the final game of the season, Rangers are getting half of that. They're getting 4,000. They're only getting one behind the goals. Mark Guidi.
Listen, John, I take your point on board, but I disagree with you 100%. And you look at one of the quotes that Billy Bowie has put out, and he's not saying that they're going to get an extra 4,000 or 5,000. He knows pretty much that he's going to have to take a financial hit and the crowd will down. But what he's saying is, to balance it out, he's hoping to get an extra 1,000 supporters per game at Kilmarnock, and that makes up for the shortfall of the Old Firm not being there. And Kilmarnock, I've watched Kilmarnock a lot in the past 3 or 4 years, and they've gone from maybe 3,000 to close to 6,000 on average, which are credit to them. You said there it's an embarrassment to Scottish football if these stands will not be filled. No, for me, what the embarrassment of Scottish football is, coins, pies, lighters, supporters, sectarian, chanting as well. And he's mentioned that too from Rangers and Celtic fans, that his own fans feel intimidated. Now, if you put yourself in Billy Bowie's shoes and Kilmarnock's shoes, a very forward-thinking club, they're a welcoming club, they're a good club, they try their best without the finances of the Old Firm, but they try to keep their supporters happy, which is their objective, their most important thing. And if it means keeping 5 or 6,000 Kilmarnock fans happy, then he is absolutely right. And listen, I don't expect you to agree with it, and I don't want to see football fans locked out of ground, so I don't want to see empty seats. But when I look at the evidence that Billy Bowie has presented, I absolutely see his case.
I must admit, I don't agree 100% with Mark. I think that you know, if you're going to do that, you do it all the time, you know, in every game. So if you think, well, wait a minute, this is, we only want our fans to be there, then you say to Celtic and Rangers in particular.
I think it might be from now on, that could be the suggestion.
Yeah, but I'm saying from that, now on, my viewpoint is on this is not, I'm not saying this is right just for this one game. The way he's presenting this stuff is that he's going to do it. This is continuous.
I understand. If he's going to do it all the time, I think it's an awful lot of money to risk. The other side of it, Johnny, is trying to make it an occasion 150 years. So like a cup final, then Kilmarnock will find 12,000, 15,000 people will turn up. So it's like that kind of day. They're trying to make it an occasion, and on an occasion they may well find another 3,000 or 4,000 people to go for that particular one off game. Mm-hmm. And then he's hoping that a decent, as Mark says, maybe another 1,000 people will come in. But I think that you know, Kilmarnock are doing well just now and have done well since Stevie Clark's been there. If Stevie Clark leaves for one reason or another, mm-hmm. and if they're not doing quite as well, will Billy Bowie still have the same view if the club...
They need the money.
Yeah, if the club isn't as quite as successful mm-hmm. as they are under Stevie Clark.
Yeah, so but I think he's flips a big it around. It is a big risk. But what he does, and he says to Kilmarnock, well, now I have to. Mm. I have to invite these clubs back because you guys aren't turning up anymore for whatever reason. Financially, no winning as many games, whatever it may be, he's quite entitled to it.
But you
don't need to buy a ticket if he makes the offer to Rangers and Celtic supporters in the future, 2 years down the line. You don't need to buy the ticket. You're perfectly within your rights to say, well, actually, no, come on, I'm not giving you my money. But at the moment, Billy Bowie's got to deal with the here and now. And I totally see his point of view. And I totally see John's point of view, that he's disappointed that he might miss out getting to the game.
I mean, Hibs done it earlier on the season. The clubs are doing it. They're trying to get more than that. Listen, I understand, but as I said, and you know, when you're looking to balance the books, and when you're looking to, you know, get as much income into football as possible, it's a big risk. And I think Billy's obviously willing to take the hit, and it's his money, and he's entitled to do that.
John.
Right, so basically he can afford to host Rangers Celtic £240,000, right, a year. And when they were voting to put Rangers down, the Kilmarnock previous chairman said they couldn't afford to do that because it would cost them hosting players. Second of all, you're saying other clubs, Mark, see, every club at Scottish football sing songs towards each other, which isn't acceptable, not just Rangers and Celtic.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that, John.
Even Kilmarnock supporters sing towards Rangers fans as well. So see what you're saying, talking about the bigotry and all that side. I understand where you're coming from, but it's
I'm putting forward Billy Bowie's case, what he's saying in terms of him defending his football club and defending his supporters. That's what he's saying. That's part of his reasons, and I can see his point.
But I mean, you can't say that, Mark, because you're turning and saying
every club, you're saying one word, he's defending his club, but his club still do it, like Rangers fans, the Celtic fans, and other fans abuse, so it's all right for them to do it when it's
I don't think Mark's talking about the abuse. You're talking specifically about the fact that Billy Bowie's priority, his absolute priority, just has to be looking after what his customer base thinks, what his fan base thinks.
If Kilmarnock fans are telling him, we are intimidated, he's got to sit up and take notice of that.
But I think also, Mark, if you're a Scottish football fan, I think anyway, the games you look forward to are the big games. I mean, Kilmarnock don't have a strict derby at this moment in time. Some clubs do.
Yeah.
You know, your Hearts, Hibs, that'd be the game you look forward to. If you're Celtic Rangers, that's the game. But Kilmarnock look forward, I think anyway, would look forward to playing Celtic Rangers in full houses. The players I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a player and a manager, that's the games you look forward to. Uh-huh. A full house, TV, invariably live games. That's the big games. If you eliminate half of that crowd, I think it certainly doesn't give you the same effect.
Thank you to John and Paisley. Your great servants are still coming in on Twitter. Billy Allen says Sandy Jardine, great ambassador and player for Rangers, God bless him. And Dave Park's got a wee naughty one. He says great servants for their club Celtic, Hugh Keevans. I'm not too sure how the two bans that he's received from Celtic really fit in with that, Dave. But anyway, let's speak to Frankie in Shettleston. Hi Frankie.
How you doing, lads? All right. It's nice to speak to you, Mark, Jim, and yourself. It's about the getting, you know, you were speaking about fans being frisked into the stadiums, especially here. It's appalling that the supporters don't get frisked or in. You could walk in with a handgun, and it's as simple as that, and there's no, oh, you can't say that. Of course you could. And I go abroad quite a lot, and 2 weeks ago I was in Hungary. And a couple of weeks before that, I went to see Mönchengladbach versus Wolfsburg, and it takes 2 seconds. You're not allowed a bag, and you go through one of these passport scanners, you know, that you see in the airport, and you simply walk through. You don't even break stride, and a guy frisks you down. Wallet, keys, and in you go. Takes 2 seconds. That's it.
How come, though, then,
that's
Frankie?
That's it.
Yeah, but how come, Frankie, in Europe, it's absolutely almost ridiculous, the amount of flares.
It's commonplace.
I mean, almost every major game in Europe, there are flares.
Right. Jim, can you let me finish? Okay, this is me talking about a Bundesliga match, pal. Right? So, you won't see flares in a Bundesliga match because they're not allowed. It's forbidden. Now, I went to MTG Budapest. Exact same procedure, except the ultras and the flags and the flares are allowed at the ultra section. Mm-hmm. They're actually sitting in the stadium at their seats, ready to go off. There's firemen there, there's policemen there. You go in the air, and that creates the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's
not throwing at players. They're not throwing
at
anything.
That's a good point, Frankie.
They're doing Hungary. No, I'm not saying that. I want that here. What I'm saying is it's controlled, so people don't abuse that control.
Yeah.
They respect that. There was 20,700 at the MTK game, and as I walked across, everybody, the flags are all there. Everyone's all set out. The flares are there, and the smoke bombs are there.
Frankie, let me put that to the guys, just because we're a bit short on time. I think that is a good point, Mark Guidi. Why it feels as if the conversation in this country at the moment is flares are bad, end of story. As Frankie mentions, there clearly is an appetite for that type of thing, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, there clearly is. So what about a discussion? What about communication about ways we can actually do it properly and do it safely, rather than just automatically going flares are bad, flares are a disgrace?
Make it a part of the fan experience.
Is that perhaps the way, an easier solution?
You've got to be willing to open dialogue on anything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Gordon, yeah.
No, for me, absolutely not.
Not for you?
No, I mean, you've seen the goalkeeper, I mean, a thing banged up.
I think throwing them at players is obviously a no-no, but, you know, Frankie's talking about a controlled environment that works in certain countries.
A little bit of smoke and get off and it looks nice and colourful.
Of course, throwing it is not.
Unfortunately, in this country, we cannot behave ourselves. We're throwing everything at this moment in time, including flares. With a young kid there the other day there down south.
Maybe if it was more controlled, it wouldn't happen.
Had a panic attack because something, you know, exploded next to him. So for me, absolutely not.
We're going to have to leave it there because we're very late for this.
Beat the Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to take on Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy. Give us a call right now, 01419511025, and you'll be playing Beat the Pundit after the news. Be quick though, because the lines close when the news starts at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi still here with me, Gordon Duncan. We are now joined by Chick Charlie. He's our special guest for the second hour. He's just been telling us a couple of stories during the break, so I'm trying to make sure he gets the PG versions of them on air for the next hour or so. But before
we come in for an hour, Gordon, because he never does 90 minutes.
Say that again, sorry.
You can only come in for an hour because you never done 90 minutes.
Well, we'll get to that after we play Beat the Pundit first.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are ready. One of them is taking on Tony, who's a Celtic fan from Motherwell. How are you tonight, Tony?
Not too bad. For yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Fancy your chances?
Well, I'm no one yet, so...
Yeah, give it a go. Why not? Jim Duffy's moved mics, which is just going to confuse me even more, so I'll try and remember. Heads, it's Mark Guidi. Tails, it's Jim Duffy. And it is. It's Tails. Jim Duffy up against Tony from Motherwell. So I'll give Jim some Clyde 2 to listen to for a quick minute. Make sure he can't hear what we're saying. And we'll get your clock up and running. Tony, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Jim. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
What was the final score of last night's Morton-Inverness match?
2-2.
Greg Stewart started his playing career with which Scottish League 2 side?
Arbroath.
Who came immediately before Ian Maxwell as the SFA chief executive?
Pass.
What team does Marvin Bartley play for?
Habs.
What trophy did Claudio Reyna not win with Rangers?
League Cup.
What country is Emilio Izaguirre from?
Honduras.
What is the nickname of Aloha?
Pass.
And where was the World Cup held in 2006?
2006 was...
Quick.
Germany.
Oh, just in time. I'm feeling generous. Right, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, are you with us?
Hi, Gordon.
You are, right. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
What was the final score of last night's Morton-Inverness match?
2-2.
Greg Stewart started his playing career with which Scottish League 2 team?
Oh, Montrose.
Who came immediately before Ian Maxwell as the SFA chief executive?
Can't remember.
What team does Marvin Bartley play for?
Hibernian.
What trophy did Claudio Reyna not win with Rangers?
Scottish Cup.
What country is Emilio Izaguirre from?
Honduras.
What is the nickname of Aloha?
The Wasps.
And where were the World Cup finals held in 2006?
In six, Germany.
Okay. Tell you what, Tony, you sounded confident, but so did Jim Duffy. How do you think it went?
I think he's gone over the Aloha one.
You think so? Let's go through and find out. I'll tell you what a great battle that was. First one, what was the final score of last night's Morton-Inverness 2-0? You both got it right, so it's 1-1. Greg Stewart started his playing career at?
Cowdenbeath.
It was Cowdenbeath, so it's still 1-1. The SFA chief executive before Ian Maxwell?
Stuart Regan.
It was Stuart Regan, so it's still 1-0. It was then 2-0 because you both knew Marvin Bartley plays for Hibs. And Tony then takes the lead because it was the League Cup, was the only trophy Claudio Reyna didn't win. It stays as is because you both knew that Emilio Izaguirre is from Honduras. Jim Duffy then equalises because he knew that Aloha's nickname is the Wasps. And it means it all's come down to the last question. You both said Germany. You were both right, which means we've got one of the highest scoring Beat the Pundits. 5-5, I think it is. And on to a tiebreaker. Great stuff. All right, so here's the tiebreaker, Tony. I'll read the question. I'll get Jim to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yep.
The question is this. Lewis Ferguson and Scott Brown were in the midfield battle at Hampden on Sunday. Combined, how many league bookings do they have this season? Scott Brown and Lewis Ferguson, how many league bookings combined do they have this season? Jim Duffy, write it down please and show me. Okay, and Tony, your guess?
12.
Tony goes for 12. Jim Duffy only goes for 6. They've only got 3 each in the league this season.
I thought Scott Brown, obviously, you know, is obviously protected by referees. And I'm only winding up.
The answer is 21.
Wow.
There we go. Wow, so, Tony, you weren't that close, but you were closer than Jim, so the sign ball is yours. Well done.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
Well done.
Well done, Tony.
Well done.
And by the way, I don't know if it's something in the water. I don't know what the moon is like at the moment. Three in a row for the listeners. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wow.
That's it. You're running out of balls.
We've not got enough money to spend on these balls. You need to start getting your finger out. Anyway, 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Mark Guidi's still here, so is Jim Duffy. And we're now joined by our special guest, Chick Charlie. Chick, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, fine.
Good stuff. The guys on a Wednesday trick know that what happens when we get a guest in, we put them through a bit of an interview process, a getting to know you, right? So
Duff knows me, squeegee knows.
Right. Well, the listeners might not. So step forward to this mic and we'll find out. I'm going to rattle through these questions and I'm going to test your memory as well. What was the first game you went to?
Celtic and Dunfermline. I think I was 5 years of age.
Remember the score?
No. East End Park, I remember it.
So it was an away game?
Yeah, East End Park, and Celtic wore the old green strip.
There you go. What year would that have been? 5 year old?
What am I? 56. 51 year old.
Someone else can figure it out. Tell us the score. Who was your footballing hero growing up?
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, self-explanatory. I don't think we need to ask the reasons why. Best you've played with?
Best with McAvaney.
What was so special?
Just that everything. Not mean he was brave. He could score goals. Not mean he was just right, good player.
Yeah, all round. Best you played against?
Paul McStay.
Again, why?
Shadow. I played against Cooper and Loudrup and DeCanio, whatever. But McStay, I just felt he did everything, he could tackle, he could score goals. But he was as hard as nails as well. You know what I mean? But he really could play.
I mean, we were talking in the first hour about sort of great servants for clubs, one club men, that sort of thing. So he ticks that box as well.
But the thing with Paul McStay, he could have left a lot earlier. And maybe he should have left, you know what I mean, to further his career. But he was just too loyal to Celtic. It was fantastic.
Best stadium you've played at?
I know what you're going to say.
Old Trafford.
I was waiting for it.
Go on.
See ya. One game wonder.
See ya.
Right, come on then. Tell us the story.
I would say Celtic Park. The new Celtic Park.
Tell us the Old Trafford story. I like that.
Everybody knows it. It's just...
No, they might not.
Duff will tell me, I'll start greeting again.
No, can I just say before you Chick played in the game, obviously he'll tell you this in a minute, but he played really well because he had a really bad injury that day. His feet were all cut after walking on broken glass.
Every time that comes up, Duff teaches to say, "Aye, Chick, broken glass, he'd walk over broken glass, play for Celtic." So it just happened that I was in the season was finished, and I was in the local pub on the Sunday, and the gaffer phoned us, John Lambie, and says, "Celtic want you to play in this game." So, but I had about 10 vodkas and 4 pints. That was only 12 o'clock. No, so I went up the road, and then I went down the next day. I travelled in with my pals in the car and played the game, and that was that.
And that was it. That was the moment.
Lou McCann? No, whose testimonial was it?
Mark Hughes'
testimonial.
Did you know nutmeg someone? Come on, tell us.
See, I didn't. Is that folklore? As everybody thinks that a nutmeg cantoner, but what happened was, he tried to nutmeg me, and it was right at the old dugout, and I shot my legs, and I turned around and smiled at Brian Scott. But I've got my wee boy's got a fantastic photo here. Aye, and it's me laughing, and cantoner's in the shot. But everybody thought that I nutmegged him.
Just exaggerate. I don't remember. I don't tell lies.
I don't know if we've covered this one off here, but your best footballing moment?
Obviously playing that game, but beating Celtic with Duff at Easter Road, that was a good day.
Not the pass to Henrik Larsson.
Oh, he passed to me.
Aye, that's what I mean, sorry.
He was hopeless.
Well, whatever happened to him?
I know.
I was kind of trying to stay away from the obvious questions, Chick, but you just can't. That is, in Scottish football moments, Henrik Larsson's debut. He comes on, passes the ball straight to you. You rifle it in the back of the net, and people must have been thinking at that moment, Who's this dud Celtic have signed?
Again, I don't know if it was the last half hour or something coming down. But I knew him for... I played in Sweden then, but I think people knew him, but he was just phenomenal, the guy at the end up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely was. Worst footballing moment?
Worst football moment. I think all the free transfers I got. I can't find offhand.
Nothing that sticks out. That's fine. Don't mind that. Any pre-match superstitions?
Not always. As soon as the gaffers named the teams, I was always out first. Just out, kicking the ball with the ball boys or whatever, just to get out of the dressing room.
That's just become a habit more than a superstition.
It was a superstition. I just wanted to do it.
Get out of the way. Right. Now I'm worried about this one. Tell us something about you we might not already know.
I went to see the Dalai Lama. You won't know that.
Seriously?
I did. I went and saw him in the hydro. I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Absolutely right. I did not know that.
No, I was doing a... I played a charity game for a guy, and I did a couple of things for charity for him, and he was organising things. He said, you want to get a line? And I went. Could have said a word.
Well, him or you?
Both.
No words of advice then?
No, but it was interesting.
That's the first time he's ever chanted and not been arrested for it.
I didn't expect that, Mark.
No,
did you?
Not,
I
must admit. Not, absolutely not.
Where are we? Are we almost done on the questions? A couple more. Hobbies away from football?
Play tennis now and again. You just play with Duff regular. No,
who's the best tennis player?
Myself.
Nah, is better. He? Is he decent?
He's better.
No, he's again, but we did. We get a good sweat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played with Duff a lot. We played a lot. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to play again shortly.
He's certainly at badminton, tennis and stuff like that's good, but his boy's brilliant at kind of badminton stuff and tennis and that and all. So
shows you up,
obviously.
In the genes.
He's passing along, but I think it's surprising because most people think golf, and I always thought he'd be a right good golfer because his technique and stuff like that. But you know,
no interest.
I just found it too boring walking around
not fast enough.
Golfer, sorry, but again. To see the badminton and the tennis things, I'm not great, but it's all right.
Keeps you going. You got a favourite film?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is one of my favourites.
That's Mark Guidi. He's delighted with that choice.
Because he was in it.
Juicy.
I mean, Alan Diddy.
Juicy for it is
brilliant. Great lines in it all.
Now, your ultimate five-a-side team with players you played with, you can put yourself in it if you want.
McAvaney would be in it. Uh-huh. Once I played by. I won't say Duff because he's here.
No, that's why he's not saying you, Duff.
Again, who else are you thinking?
Archie. Alan Archibald.
No. Sorry, Archie.
Hope he's not listening.
No, I see me forget all the players the back then. Like Frank McDougall, but again, five aside, I don't know different.
Early days at St Mirren.
Early days at St Mirren. Ian Scanlon. No, were you there, Squid, when he was there?
No, but I remember him. St Mirren and Aberdeen left winger. Brilliant, wasn't he?
First time I was there, when I was 19, Scanlon was sensational. I mean, and I remember even going to watch him playing against Celtic, Danny McGrain, and no many give Danny a hard time. You know what I mean?
Is that us a wee couple short? What was that? Scanlon, McAvaney. Need a keeper. Wait. Do we have one?
Bolly Thompson. Again, he was there when I was there the first time.
You were at Hibs and Dundee as well, so obviously.
Hibs and Dundee.
Was it Hibs and Dundee, Jim Leighton? No.
I can't remember half of things. Hibs and Dundee.
It's a good four a side team. It's fine, we'll get by. 1-4-1-9-5-1.
Neil McCann was
Neil. Yeah, he was the boy, aye.
Jim's going to help check answer these five asides. We'll get to that in the break. 01419511025. If you've got any questions, get them in. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And remember, we're still talking about all the day's big news. Before our news, we had the Kilmarnock Rangers ticket situation. We were looking at the post split fixtures as well. So keep all that coming. Right, Jim Duffy and Chick Charney clearly know each other very well for a long, long time. What's that relationship been like over the years with the various guises that it's taken on, friends and then football and manager and assistant and all the rest of it? Still pals?
Yeah, we're still good friends, but we've had our moments, you know, because obviously we're both from local housing estates. So, you know, when we were younger, we had one or two little sort of disagreements. But, you know, I think it's living else when you grow up in that environment. This kind of place, environment, nothing lingers. And then, you know, became good pals. And then obviously I became, you know, Chick's manager a couple of times. But in terms of we played obviously at Partick Thistle in the early 90s under John Lambie. And I think then you forge more of a friendship. I not just me and Chick, you know, mm-hmm. because that environment, John had that unbelievable ability of people say about, you know, getting a harmonious mm-hmm. dressing room. But he just had a knack of putting players together. Sometimes the complete opposite you would think, but mm-hmm. it worked with John. And I think, as I said, obviously people like myself and Chick and that just thrived on mm-hmm. that, because he just he let you off the leash. He gave you a responsibility, and allowed you to go on, and trusted you to do the things. And as much as he was hard work for any manager, John was like a He was like a second father. He was great.
I'll be honest, you told this story during the break, but it's definitely worth repeating. I was looking for an example of when Jim's the gaffer and you're the assistant. I'm looking for any time that he was less than impressed with you, and I think you've got a good example of one.
As I say, he's my pal, but he kept me in the game for 5 or 6 years longer than I should have been in. No, 3 years at Clyde, and then at Dens, and then at Hibs. But the story was, the assistant manager always has to count the players and do the things that the manager did in the day. So we're going to play Peterhead. It's already. We're going to play Peterhead up there, and young boy Fulton had got his time mixed up. Would you sign him on loan for Falkirk the night before, wasn't it, Duff?
Yeah.
The night before, and Duff never had his number. So we get to Perth, and one of the young players in the team says, the captain says, come down and says to me, I'm sitting across with Duff, and he says, Jack, Fulton's not on the bus. I said, you're kidding me. And I thought he was hiding in the toilet. So he said, I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no, he's not on the bus. And I went, no, I need to see him. So I says, Gaffer, I says, Fulton's not on the bus. He says, you're kidding. He says, Chick, you've got one job. And I've seen Duff Stemfer's, right? And I'd never had to go. So he had to phone Stephen Presley, get his number, and then get. So the boy, he travelled up to his father, Stephen Fulton, up to. It was Elgin, I think, Duff.
Wasn't it? I think it was Elgin.
And we got up, and then we got beat anyway. And the boy was poor. They took him off at half time. But it was horrendous.
Yeah, and his boy comes after the game and says to Chick, do you mind if I go back down with my dad? And Chick says, oh, can I go with you? I said to him, you had one job today, count the players, and he couldn't manage it.
And see after that, the players were shout to me, one job.
Chick, that's all you've got. One job.
Is that the bit where the whole pal thing goes out the window and you're just raging?
No, obviously there's a bit of humour about it, and you know. But as I said, I can occasionally maybe lose it at times. But it was just one of those things where, you know, you could wind them up, and again, as I said, the players after that would always say, "Right, Chick, your one job, you've done your one job."
One job, I like that. Right, let's take a question. John's in Linwood on the phone. Hi, John.
Gordon, Jim, Martin, Chick, how he's doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi, John.
A servant, I've got to say, the late great Tommy Burns. A short story, guys. I remember, I'm going back a few years, I took my wee nephew, he was only 10 years of age, Tommy Burns was putting out stuff for the training for the boys. I said to my wee nephew, shout on Tommy. And this wee 10-year-old voice echoed round Celtic Park, Tommy. Tommy looked up and waved at him. So for me, he was a servant for Celtic. And a gentleman, you know. But Chick, obviously, you know, it's a pleasure to speak to you, mate. You've wore the hoops, but you've also played against the King of Kings, Henry Larsson. And obviously, the video out, you were in it. You went past to Henrik, and obviously, it didn't go well. Were you surprised, Chick, that Henrik went so far as in what he done for Celtic, what he done for Manchester United, even though he scored against us, we still love him, and Barcelona?
I think everybody was surprised. No, like people that knew him, but just how well he done. No, he ended up world class. You know what I mean? When he came, as I say at the start, not a lot of people knew about him. You know what I mean? But it was absolutely fantastic, and he turned into a world class player.
I know you feel like everybody will have heard that story because you've maybe told it a lot, but they won't. So when Henrik Larsson comes on for his debut, bad pass, and you go and score, when does that then become a thing? Because at that day, that's not an issue. That happens in football. When does that become an event?
Just in the next few years, you know what I mean? When he went on to do it with him. But I was tugging his hair, he did dreadlocks and that. I was tugging his hair in that game as well, you know what I mean? Just, but I didn't know him, you know what I mean? See, I knew him, I was in Sweden for a wee, just knew him, seen him on the telly and things like that. But
has he got a dreadlock on eBay? No,
I should have.
But it must have taken a while for people to start catching on, because like I say, people make mistakes all the time, but I wonder who made that connection first.
But God, I'd met him a couple of times after that. I've tried to strip for my wee boy, my oldest boy rather. And I'd met him a couple of times, but he was quite deep, you know what I mean? He was quite a deep person. He was hard to, and I think he'd been raging because that's all people spoke about, you know what I mean? Raging.
I think he made up for it after that. It's all right. Thank you to John and Linwood. We've got a good question for you too. Chick can help you out. A full time teaser. More of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's personal injury solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Mark Weary, Jim Duffy and Chick Charmley here with me, Gordon Duncan. If you've any questions, let's have them on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Just a bit of signing news for you tonight. Muller will have signed Inverness midfielder Liam Polworth on a pre-contract deal. The 24-year-old will join the Fir Park side on a 2-year deal, obviously, when this season ends. So that's that time of the year, Jim. Teams are starting to prepare for next season.
Yeah, pre-contracts, you know, I think, you know, for players nowadays, I think, I mean, unless you're at the very top level and you're in a lot of money, you know, it's a nervous time for a lot of players because, you know, when you're running out of contract, you know, you don't know what's going to be happening. You don't want to wait to the summer when there's just everybody's looking for players, you know, everybody's, you know, fighting for the spaces and teams. So if you can sign a pre-contract, already know where you're going to happen next season, you know that you've got that security, you can calm down, you can plan things with your family, etc., your holiday, what you're trying to do. So I think a lot more teams now are doing this sort of thing, you know, saying, I mean, obviously we know Jordan Jones is signed for Rangers, and you know there's a lot of times now that players will sign pre-contracts, and I think it's becoming more commonplace now.
I know he's been in impressive form for Inverness, Mark, so Mother will be hoping to take that back into a Premiership level and help them kick on.
Yeah, and it's good to get something done early as well, Gordon, get it over the line. There was an interest from other clubs too. So yeah, Mother will have managed to pull one off there.
Right, let me set up the full-time teaser for you tonight, and we'll leave it running between now and the end of the show. So Robert McLean sent this question in for you. So as usual, if there's anything up with the question, just blame him, don't blame me. That's the great thing about it. Full-time at Clyde One, that's where you send them into. Robert is looking for 8 permanent transfers between Aston Villa and Scottish teams since 2000. So 8 permanent transfers between Aston Villa and Scottish teams, or Scottish teams and Aston Villa since 2000.
So it's Dan Petroff?
Yes.
So any Scottish team, so
Celtic to Villa, August 2006.
Sean Maloney?
Yes. Celtic to Villa?
Yeah.
Des Bremer?
Nope, not since 2000.
By the way, that's the first time he's ever put his horn up to answer a question.
See, in fairness though,
he's about 100 million.
In fairness, you laugh, but that's the sort of answer Hugh Keevans gives every week. So that's why I didn't
love that.
I didn't Ken even flinch. What was Hugh Keevans' class?
To the back of the class.
Hugh Keevans had Jonathan Johansson in the 2009 Rangers team the other night or something. I'm used to that. Right, Stan Petrov, and you went for Sean Maloney, Celtic to Villa,
yeah? Got another one. Carlos Cuellar, Rangers to Aston Villa.
We'll leave that there because you're only looking for another 5. Let's speak to Paul in Crookston. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, Gordon. Hi, Jim, and hi, Chick.
Hello.
Hi. I had a good one for that quiz here.
No, absolutely not, because I've only got 5 to go.
I won't give it away.
Good man.
Good to see or hear Chick Charlie on the panel. I quite like listening to his stories. So it was kind of just 2 wee questions. Question one, obviously, see if Chick can maybe tell us that story again about the golf ball one. I think that's a legendary story. I love hearing about that one. With Jim, with Lambie, and the golf ball comes over into Partick Thistle's ground, I think it is. And just listen to the types of stories. If it had any other ones, been just to find out from the panel's perspective. Obviously, we live in a much more politically correct world, or whatever you want to maybe call it that. And just to find out whether you think we've kind of lost that in football. Because I remember growing up in like the early 90s, and you know, people like Peter Reid at Sunderland, and John Lambie, and people like that, and even Walter Smith earlier on. If you look through YouTube, and you'll see some of the stuff with certain broadcasters he's had dealings with. And do you think we've kind of lost that a wee bit? Because I think, well, that's something I quite liked, was those kind of stories and, you know, the banter that went on and things like that. And I'm not to say that banter doesn't happen, but I just think a lot of it's tailed back now. And I guess maybe that's, I don't know, you know, professionalism and standards and things like that coming through. But
All right, let's put that to the guys then, Paul. Well, first of all, Paul's got—he knows your stories, and he's requesting them. He wants your golf ball story.
Well, the thing was that the kids used to go up the canal bank at Miser's Hill, off at Fir Hill, and they used to just hit the golf balls into the stadium. So we're out doing the warm ups, and every other day you've had a golf ball line. So the gaffers take the warm ups. So we just—I've lobbed the golf ball, and it's just tapped him on the head. hit his head. So he said,
golf ball, that is.
I tapped tapped him in the head.
So he says, he said, who did that? I says, that's him hitting the boys for the Canal Bank, gaffer. So he starts shouting up, they'll never be there. If they came for the Canal Bank, they'd kill him. So that was fine. So we then showered after training, and I said to the gaffer, I said, that was me hitting you with that golf ball. He said, oh, that's like fine, that's fine. So thought nothing of it. Friday we're in, done a warm up out in the track, done some sprints. Came in, he stood behind a chair in the dressing room, a medicine ball, and dropped it right in my head.
Nearly broke your neck.
Aye, he dropped it right in my head.
To be fair, the size of his head, a medicine ball is the equivalent of a golf ball to anybody else.
You always get those people, to be fair, don't you, when they've got revenge for a joke and they just take it so much further than your initial joke ever was. What about Paul's making a more general point there about, you know, different types of managers and I suppose the contrast to the modern game?
Yeah, I mean, it has changed, there's no doubt about that, and it is more difficult for managers, you know, of a certain vintage, as I say, to, you know, maybe say things and react to things. You used to wind guys up and stuff like that. So, you know, you've got to be, it's just the way it is. Everything's moved on, and as I say, I mean, John, every second word for John was a profanity. There's no doubt about that, John Lambie. You know, people might perceive it now. If he went on one, he's real rants. You know, one or two people might that's not acceptable. You know, you can't go down that line or that kind of stuff. But that was just it was. And as I said before, the one thing John made sure of is he had characters in the dressing room that could handle that. If you couldn't handle it, you couldn't play for John. I mean, there's something. I mean, obviously, Chick knows umpteen stories about John. But the one thing, as I said before, is, I don't think you should underestimate, one, his success as a manager, and two, he's just said, that talent for people talk about recruitment with no money, you know, and always managed to get, you know, and he was always tweaking it to try and get the best formula, and he had a fantastic talent, I say, for putting good teams together, you know, at different times, at different areas, and when teams needed him, you know, I think he was underestimated as a tactician and a guy who knew the game because he had that manner about him, and as I said, the way he came across.
The time that after I played that game for Celtic, the end of the season, the following year, Lambie freed me at the end of that season. Remember, Squeed? Because Mark was working for the Mail.
Sunday Mail, aye.
What happened was, and then they done an article, and I swear my kid's life, I did forget, but what happened was, Mark, end of that season, I got a free. So Squeegee was working with the paper, and he said, "Chick, you want to come and do a story for the Mail saying you could have been playing the cup final for Celtic, now you're without a club." So I said, "Aye," so I cut a quid off him for
that. So, a lunch at size.
So
he brought dinners, didn't he? He brought Alan, didn't he?
What happened was, this was again the following Sunday, Mark, wasn't it?
Aye.
So, but in between time, Jim Black, I think.
Another paper offered him a few quid.
No, but I generally didn't think it was. So I done the story, but he couldn't put it in. So he's phoned me, "Chick, what are you doing? You're going to get in the sack." He said, "My head has gone mental. I'd already bought a new Jaeger." But see, that's him with Lambie. But there's although like people think it's favourite, but he knew players as well. And if you weren't doing it, he would just get rid of you.
And maybe when your time was up, that's what I'm saying. It's just a different thing. But again, I said, you know, when you know, different managers, I said Walter Smith, as you mentioned there, with Chick and all this sort of stuff. Chick Young, as with the stuff. You know, you couldn't get away with these type of things, though. You know, and obviously everybody's on, you know, various social networks. So if somebody does do something, they post it. So yeah, it's just a different environment now.
Final word to you, Paul.
I know that was good to just obviously listen back, and I take on board those points. I just think, it's another way you can look at it. No, you're saying there, these people got the best out of players as well. No, you see what's happening now. I think, I mean, I've obviously grown up and loved football and whatnot, and no, although I've never played it and whatever, but I think I got a little bit, you know, see with scenarios like what happened to the Chelsea game and things like that, and the goalkeeper refusing to come off. I just thought, that kind of put me off a little bit, which I thought was quite sad. And I think even they've got that back in the day with, you know, people like that. And I think, you know, although you look back at the Wimbledon team, you know, the crazy gang, I think they were known as.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them, I would imagine, keep in contact with one another, and there's like strong bonds between them and whatnot. But I definitely take those points. I think a lot of the generation that will come through wouldn't be able to handle that type of environment, I guess. And I think, yeah, maybe a lot of it's moved on for good points as well. So I take that on board. But I just think maybe just, know, the camaraderie and things like that. I just think it's quite important as well, and I think that just keeps the sport going and whatnot. But that was good. It was just to obviously reminisce about those stories and hear that golf story by Chick. Keep that one up, cause I quite like that one.
Great stuff. Thank you to Paul in Crookston. 0141 951 1025. This is the thing, you're speaking about the stories, and Chick, you can sense his thing. Oh, I've told these stories before, and you two will have heard them. There's a member of the staff in the office, I'll leave him nameless, but he's a lot younger than you lot. He's even younger than me. There are not many in the show that are. He's younger than me, and like the modern kids do, Chick, when we said you were coming in, he went on your Wikipedia just to find out a bit more. In the Partick Thistle section, for all your history with Partick Thistle, three lines, right? And it just goes very, very seamlessly in, right? It just talks about freed by Partick Thistle when they were in the Premier Division, as you just mentioned. And then straight in the next line, during his time at Thistle, he and two other players were approached by two teenage boys during a training session in a park. Despite suffering a stab wound to his hand when one of the boys brandished a sword, Charlie was able to disable the attacker with a punch. So that's what it says on the Wikipedia. And the member of staff, who remains nameless, turns and says, Is that true? Seriously, is that true? At which point Jim Duffy goes, aye, I was there. So, I mean, that must be, there can't be many people who've got that in their Wikipedia entry.
Oh, it's not a good thing, I don't think. But the funny story about that, my wife was in hospital threatening a miscarriage. So I goes up to the 2 o'clock visit. I've got my hand stitched. And she says, what happened to your hand? I said, well, we know between in Rockhill Park, there's glass and there's, I think we, I said, a slit. Cut my hand in the grass. She said, oh, that's a shame. What's that effect? So after that, I goes up, it's 7 o'clock visit. Her face is like fizz. She said, it was on Scotland today.
So, Jim, you were there. You were somewhere behind Chick Charlie. Explain the full story.
Yeah, well, obviously, there was, we're training as we do. And there was a couple of people who decided to brandish a samurai sword, sorry, and was it nunchucks they call them now, innit? And anyway, the guy with the nunchucks was doing it, and he hit his cell with it, and we just thought it was funny because he wasn't very good at it. And anyway, the other guy was shouting at Chick a few things that weren't very pleasant. And Chick being Chick says, look, I'll see you down at Far Hill after training. So no big deal about it, really, you know. But obviously, that escalated a little bit to the fact that he chased after him. And decided, I don't know why, but he picked up a wee branch.
No, a traffic cone.
Well, a traffic cone, that's right. It was a traffic cone. A traffic cone, because that's what we use for training sometimes. And he picked up one of the cones, and then he slipped. And then that's when the guy obviously tried to hit him, and it cut his hand. But then the guy made the cardinal sin of slipping. So obviously we caught up with him then, and Big Gordon Ray picked up the sword, didn't he? And bent it like Thor, just bent it. So as long as we could run behind Big Gordon, we were all right. We knew we were okay. So, but anyway, as I said, it was something that you don't see very often, you know, at football clubs now, thankfully, and thankfully we won't see it again.
So you're reading that out, Gordon and Chick, it's disappointing and it's not clever and stuff like that. And just to say, in Chick's defence, for my limited time in full time football, 3 years, and I was lucky enough, Chick was at Man there. And genuinely, my hand, my heart, brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And Duff knows better than me, but a brilliant footballer, a talented, skilled in me playing in goal. Mm-hmm. He would always come look for the ball, no matter how he put it up. He's marking them tight and all the different things. And that's just, for me, that's quite a sad thing, that Chick's actual ability as a footballer too often gets overshadowed in terms of those kind of incidents. Because make no mistake, and I say Duff backs it 100%, Chick was probably one of the most talented football players, Scottish football players in the past 30, 40 years, for natural ability, undoubtedly.
No,
Jimmy,
no, I mean, he knows what I think about him. I've signed him twice then, but you know, the fact is that it's such a fantastic belief in his own ability, and I think that's, and always wanted the ball. I always say Chick had three words. I can only say two of them, which is geez it. Because he had one word before that. Right? Geez it. And that's all you could hear. Geez it. Just, it didn't matter. He just wanted the ball all the time. But I've said this before, when you see these wonder goals that people score from the halfway line, and I say that, I've personally seen them scoring a couple live. But I think, in all seriousness, from your own half, how many goals have you scored in senior football? In all seriousness,
I think it's four.
Wow. Right.
Now, if you try, with no goalkeeper, just take the ball out and put it in the centre circle on the opposite side of the pitch, and one of them was at Hibs when they had the slope up the hill. You know, you can't even kick it that far, never mind strike into the goal with the goalkeeper
in a game,
and also
four
the
times.
Vision to see it and the ability to execute it. I think from corners, many go direct from a corner?
Three or something.
So, and telling you before, telling you he's going to take the corner.
Oh, you've got to call it. You can't have the wind just blowing in.
No, no, he's going to say, I'm going to score. I'm going to score for the corner. I'm shooting here. And you're thinking, just stick it in the penalty spot and let people go and attack it. And
it's Charlie McGrew's doing it this season, isn't he? I think he's got a couple this season.
But he's saying that he's going to do it. And also, before the referee had the wee foam line, when goalkeepers used to line the wall up and stand at the post, and as they were always standing at the post, Chip would go up and just bend it into the far corner.
Catch them unaware.
And again, catch them unaware.
I like it.
And those type of things, I said, are entertaining.
Yeah.
But they're also a football brain that you have to be switched on to. And thankfully, he's got a football brain.
No, Des Webber brain.
Because he's the other side of it is the best. His football brain's great.
Let's find out about the Des Bremner brain, because we're still looking for eight permanent transfers between Aston Villa and Scottish teams, or Scottish teams and Aston Villa since 2000.
I've got another three.
Right.
Two recent ones, John McGinn, Scott Sinclair.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll leave that there then, and we'll give you the bit of thinking time to come up with the rest. We're running late for this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Guidi, Jim Duffy and Chick Charnley are still here. We're taking your calls, we're reading your tweets, and we're trying to tackle the full-time teaser. So tonight's question: eight permanent transfers between Aston Villa and Scottish teams, or Scottish teams and Aston Villa since 2000. That being the key bit for Chick. We've got Stilian Petrov, Celtic to Villa; Sean Maloney, Celtic to Villa; Carlos Cuellar, Rangers to Villa; Scott Sinclair, Villa to Celtic; and John McGinn, Hibs to Villa.
Alan Thompson, Villa to Celtic.
Yes. Jim Duffy.
And also Sean Maloney going back the other way.
See, I left that in as a wee sneaky one. Well done. Sean Maloney, Villa to Celtic. So he went
one,
both
we've
ways.
We've got one to get.
One to get.
Check.
Andy Gray.
Honestly, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you a calendar when we get out of here.
Mid-70s, aye.
That was a wind up, that one.
Roddy Wiley is on Twitter. He says, I want to thank Chick for getting me as a young player a £25 fine after he filled John Lambie's car full of grass through his sunroof after training in Bishop Briggs. He never owned up and we all got fined. Yeah. True?
I can't remember.
But let's be honest.
I do remember, aye.
Probably true.
That was true. That was true, that's right.
Jim, I hope you've shut your sunroof out there. It's grass cutting season. I was out doing mine this morning.
No, it's all the things I said before, but if you know, again, that just shows you the relationship that no just kid with John, but John had with the players, because he took it and he said, by the way, he gave as good as he could get. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a particular occasion when Chick and Alan Dinney get asked to go to John. Everybody knows John had pigeons, but a couple of them flew into the wrong ducat, whatever it's called. Anyway, right, pigeons. So that's no good to John. So whatever, the wee tags on them. John gets a phone call. We're up training at Calderkilt, and
so is your pigeon done if it goes to the right?
Because it's no good to you anymore. If it flies into a different place.
The time it takes.
So anyway, John shoots the two down. The because they were misbehaving, and gets a wee pigeon out the basket at the back of his car. And unfortunately, sorry for anybody, any animal lovers out there, but John, being John, just wee twist to the neck, wee pigeon, see you later, up to that pigeon loft in the sky, and saying to chicken dinners, if you two don't bleep and do what I want to do, that's what's going to happen to you. So when you see that, you just kind of, your mouth's open, you think, okay, gaffer, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it.
Where was that last caller that was asking about different management styles from different eras? Get them back on. I think that applies. And did you do what you were told after that?
There was one with the gaffer as well, as Duff says. The rapport he had with the players was fantastic. Yeah. No, I mean, I was taking the youth at the time up there, and there was a young boy came in, the Rangers chain on. And the Rangers ring. So I says, you're going up to see the gaffer. I said, this is Partick Thistle, you're playing for no Rangers. So I was kidding on, but I hadn't told the kid that. So I takes him into the gaffer. The gaffer's sitting there with his pipe smoking. And I said, gaffer, I said, what about this wee so-and-so? I said, look at him, he's got the Rangers ring, the Rangers chain. I said, Thistle's playing for no Rangers. The gaffer said, you make him captain of the youth. So he goes out to me, guys, said, check if I be the captain.
All right, let's take another call. Andy's a Rangers fan from Somerson. Hi, Andy.
Good evening to the panel.
Hello.
Just a quick story about Chick, unbelievable. As well as being a magician, a skillful man, he brings a lot of comedy into the game as well. And it was the time he was playing with St Mirren. We all know the old main stand. He's running up the line when they're playing against Rangers, towards the Rangers end. Nutmegs two Rangers players. He's got the time to stick his tongue out of the Rangers fans, put his hands up to the side of his head and wave to them, and then crosses the ball in, and who scores? Well, it's no check, but it's St Mirren. It's unbelievable to see that.
I was going to ask you if you remember it, Chick, but everything I've asked so far, you can't remember.
I can't remember. Seriously, I can't remember.
What was the one? I remember the one. Is it, I remember up the tunnel. Was it half time or full time? Dundee United, Jim McLean's the manager.
Oh, what happened there was.
Davey Hay and Jim McLean, the two
Jim
managers.
Jim McLean, what happened was we're playing, and Darren Jackson, Darren, got to know Darren quite well. We were at Hibs latterly, we'd off. And Darren had dealt with me half a ball 10 minutes before half time. So I couldn't get him. So I said, what am I going to do? So I went in the tunnel and I've stood behind the door. Did you come in at Love Street, behind at the tunnel? So I've watched where the referee was and Darren's come in and I've belted him. But this is that. Davey Hay and...
He's honest.
Davey Hay and Jim McLean have come down the stairs. You know, the two stairs, both sides, because, you know, came down. But Jim McLean had seen me doing it and he was screaming, he was going mental. And Davey Hay said, did you not see what he did to him? So they two ended up in there. So David got me in the dressing room and said, see, if you get caught there, you were getting done.
Andy, was that one of those that as a Rangers fan, you're obviously cursing him at the time, and then maybe afterwards you think, oh, do you know what, that was quite good to watch?
Well, it's obviously a Rangers man. I've not seen much of Chick live, but that game sticks in my mind, and it was great to see him performing.
Great stuff. Thank you, Andy and Summerson. Some good memories coming in on the phones. Chick, what about Thistle at the moment? It's very nervy times. That bottom half of the Championship's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I was up watching them against the Fairmont a couple of weeks ago, and for the first 25 minutes, they didn't know where they were. You know what I mean? But they could have won the game at the end up, but they've got a right fight in their hands, you know what I mean? Because it's really, really tight.
I mean, I think everyone knows, but particularly with you having the club so close to your heart, and also the way the club is structured now. It was in the Premiership not so long ago. It's set up quite like a Premiership club. The thought of dropping down to that third tier is I mean, that's the reality, but it's scary for those involved to think that.
Everybody want to beat them, you know what I mean, because of who they are, you know what I mean, and just coming down, everybody raises their game against them. But it's every team is different. I tell you, every team in that league can beat anybody else. No, but they've got, I think it's Queenie South, is it, on Saturday?
And is it, when's the Falkirk game?
It's Thistle Allen.
No, that's Thistle Allen, yeah. I remember Thistle Allen.
Give me a hand against there. Yeah. Give me a hand against there. But I don't think they'll go down. I'm not just saying that, Rosie. Thistle, but I don't think they'll go down.
Hey, maybe the playoff, though. Might need to do it through the playoff. Or do you think they'll get away all together?
I think they'll get away. I think Queens could go down and maybe Falkirk.
The playoff game last night, I mean, it might turn out to be a great point for your old club, Morton Jim, but the nature of it, and then it maybe feels like a bit of a sickener as well. Yeah. So it's still very tense down there.
Yeah, I think with a couple of minutes to go, you win 2-1, then it's made a huge difference at this stage of the season. And, you know, I'm sure they were deflated after the game. But, you know, getting another point on board is important. But I think when you're that close, I think 3 points would have more or less made them safe in the sense of, you know, the games, because everyone's kind of playing each other. But now the game at the weekend, you know, is paramount for both Falkirk and Morton. You know, a draw doesn't suit either. Probably suits Morton a little bit better, but not really. And a win, you know, is massive for either club. And obviously there's that history with Ray McKinnon leaving, you know, this earlier on in the season and all this kind of stuff. So there's that kind of animosity that had been lingering there as well. So it's a very tasty encounter, that's for sure. But huge match for both of them. I'm with Chick though. I think Thistle will be Alloa 1-4 on the bounce now. Could they make it 5? Who knows? Yeah. But it's a massive match against Thistle as well.
Is Falkirk signed Tizzard?
Yes, Michael Tizzard signed a pre-contract, which again
have enough time to go into, but what a situation that is. Yeah, you know, his current club and his future club.
He's got to play them, isn't he?
Yeah, he played in, I think, last night, so I would guess he'll start.
All right, we'll maybe look at that some other time. You've got one more to get on the teaser. 8 permanent transfers between Villa and Scottish clubs, or vice versa, since 2000. Alan Thompson, Petrov, Maloney twice, Cuellar, Sinclair, McGinn.
I need a clue for me. I'm
Hibs.
Stuck. Hibs.
There are a few loans, by the way. These are permanent. So your Tonevs, your Tishbolas, they don't count. Hibs, 2002. Oh. Fair couple of million as well, it was, I think.
Oh, Ulysses de la Cruz.
Or de Cruz.
De la Cruz. Well done, Mark Greeny. Thank you. Thank you, Mark Greeny, Jim Duffy, and a special thank you to Chick Charnley for taking time out and joining us. Some great stories, some great memories as well. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. We are back tomorrow on Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'll be here with Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. In the meantime, stay where you are. Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.